God is good. Amen. Let's truly thank the Lord, shall we? So good to see you. God is so good. Good to have everyone here tonight, those that are tuning in live. It's good to have you as well. What a wonderful start to 2020. Amen. Meaning the Lord is with us. Thank God for that. Good to have you tonight. Listen, if you were not here Sunday for the New Year's sermon, I pray that you go online and listen to it. I was going to start the epistle of Paul to the church at Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, this Sunday, but I think the Lord wants me to teach one more time about our New Year's message and so forth. If not, we will be in the book of Ephesians, but tonight, of course, we're going to return to the Psalms. But a lot of things are happening. I want to remind everyone, as you sign up, as you listened on the New Year's sermon, there'll be training is forthcoming. I'll tell you more about that later. Anyway, ladies' Bible study tomorrow, 10:30 a.m. It says, please enter through the admin wing door. Also, mornings for mom this Friday, 9 a.m., ages 2 to 5. It says, bring a nut-free lunch, snack rather, and a sack lunch for your child. And then the prayer, of course, we pray every Saturday at 9 a.m. here in the sanctuary. And again, as I said upon the video earlier, we have two new share groups, and they are both kid-friendly. What a blessing that is. Remember, there's opportunities to serve this year, this brand new year. There's the cleaning ministry. If you can sign up for that, we would really appreciate it. The Kids Church Ministry, they need servants now. So I know you'll do that. And the media team to operate the cameras that stream all this out, and that's the Hollywood section up there, you know what I mean? And so what a great team we have, and so if you'd like to be a part of that, then you can get with Abby or someone there. So what I want you to do right now is that we're going to pray, as I always do as I open up for the sermon tonight, but I want you to do something tonight. Just don't listen to me pray. As you hear me pray, agree with it. In your heart, there are people that are hurting, that are suffering, that are in the hospitals, amen, that belong to us, our family. So let's join together. Let's put our faith and our love. Let's go to the throne of grace right this minute, and let's lift up all the needs, not only in our nation, but the needs in our body. Let's pray to the Lord. Father, we just come to you tonight in 2020, this January, first month of the year, Lord, and how this year has indeed started out. Lord, we do not know really how to pray for our government, for our president, for the things that are happening in our nation. But I do, Lord, we pray tonight for divine protection for this country. We pray, O Lord, that there be no war with Iran. We pray, Lord, for the military, the men and women that are serving and protecting us and our nation that are sent out into harm's way, Lord, far, far away from their husbands, their wives, their families, Lord, that you a divine protection over them. And I pray, Lord, tonight, all of us, as we are in agreement for safety in every church in America, that the shootings and the mass destruction of all that will just cease. And Lord, for those that we lift up tonight, for Angela, Lord, with her back issue, we just pray over her, asking you to touch her body, relieve her of the pain. The same thing for Karen Harris, Lord, just touching her right now. And Lord, for Stephen Carroll's son-in-law, Donnie, with the injury that he suffered, Lord, just even now, this very minute, enter into that hospital room, Lord, being there with Stephanie, all of them. Oh, Lord, touch his body, touch his brain, touch every part, his ribs, all the places that he has suffered from. And Lord, bring supernatural healing to him. And over Bill and Bev and Pete, who's in the hospital tonight, Lord. Oh, be with, especially with Pete, Lord, tonight. And Allison and all the family. And Lord, for Lawana that's in the rehab from the fall that she suffered, just being with her and touching her and, Lord, bringing healing quickly to her body. And especially for Javier, Lord, on Monday for his heart surgery that's going to be occurring. Be with the family, Jesse, Judy, all of them, Lord. And tonight, be with us as we look to the word that you exalt above your very name. Lord, touch us with your word. May our hearts be open. May this not be just another Wednesday night. But Lord, let this be the night that God hath made. And we're going to rejoice in it and be glad in it. Now, we love you. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the church says, Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Psalm 15. We're going to cover two Psalms tonight, Psalm 15 and 16. And you know, tonight I want to talk to you about pleasures, plural, pleasures forevermore. Say that with me, pleasures forevermore. Can you handle that? One day we're going to a city. It's a city in heaven where there's no light, there's no sun. The Lamb is its light. Amen. Oh, what a glorious time that's going to be. Pleasures forever and ever and ever being there with our Lord. You know, the dictionary uses the word American, our dictionary, just a normal dictionary, the collegiate, says pleasure is this, a feeling of happy satisfaction. That's really, isn't that a crummy definition? Let me give you the Hebrew definition of the word pleasure. It means in Hebrew, delightful, lovely, beautiful, agreeable, sweet. Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In other words, we could say how delightful, how lovely, how beautiful, how agreeable it is. In the Greek, the word pleasure means this, to be well pleased or to think it good or to approve. For example, Matthew 3:17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, God says, in whom I am well pleased. The same word in the Greek there. And we have it also in Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, here it comes now, according to the good pleasure of his will. Isn't that a glorious scripture? One more, Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Tonight, let's look at these two psalms. And Psalm 15, of course, Psalm of David, it begins with a question. It ends with a promise. Let's begin tonight. Psalm 15:1. Lord, who may abide in your tent? Remember the word tabernacle? What does it mean? Tent. If you go to any of the versions, say the English Standard Version or whatever, it uses the word tent instead of tabernacle because the tabernacle was a tent, of course. So who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell in your holy hill? The word abide means to sojourn, if you will. So David is asking a question, oh Lord, who can dwell for a time, a period of time, not permanently, but just temporarily, Lord, who can dwell in your tent? And then he uses that word dwell there, which means to permanently dwell. In other words, what is it going to take for all of us to get into heaven, amen, and be in the kingdom of God? Well, we know the answer to that is to trust in Jesus Christ, amen? But here he goes, David says, well, who can do it? Who can be in your tent? Who can be upon your holy hill? It seems to me that David is frustrated. Now, I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying David is going, like he's saying, you know, I want to go where I can't go. In other words, the man after God's own heart, he wanted to go into the very tabernacle of God, the very holy of holies of God. And even though David was Israel's greatest king, he couldn't go into the holy of holies. Amen? That's right. He was a king. He wasn't a priest. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and then only once a year on the Day of Atonement. So David now is going to answer the questions that he just asked. What would your questions or what would your answers be? Look at verse 2. Who's going to be able to do that? It says, he who walks uprightly. That word literally means without, well, a perfect walk. Anybody have a perfect walk here tonight? If you drove on 820, you do not have a perfect walk, not at all. No, the word means without blemish, to walk uprightly. So those who walk in their lifestyle, in their conduct, and you are absolutely blameless. I certainly can't say that. Look at the next one. And works righteousness. All that you do, every action that you do, are right with God. Man. And then so you have, it's here you have the clean walk, you have clean hands, if you will, and now look, you have a clean tongue and speaks the truth in his heart. In other words, when you say something, you can be trusted. You speak the truth. You mean what you say. You, like the Bible says, we speak the truth in love. Amen? Did you know that what comes out of your mouth reveals what's in your heart? Matthew 12:34, from the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. You want to know what a person really thinks? Listen to what they say. So here he says, listen, those that speak truth in his heart. Later on, when we get to Psalm 116, I think it's verse 11, David is going to cry out and he's going to say this, all men are liars. Do you know that there's not, if wherever man has been in every generation on this earth, if he has been there, he's told a lie. Did you know that? Think about that for a moment. Mark Twain said this. He said, none of us could live with an habitual truth teller, but thank goodness none of us has to. So that's a good word, isn't it? Verse 3, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach, or does he doesn't do wrong against his friend, okay? So who does not backbite? That word literally means slander. Who is the person who said, I don't destroy anyone with my words, man. I'll never do that. He doesn't do any evil toward his neighbor. You know, the Bible tells us in the great commandment, I'm having trouble speaking tonight. It doesn't matter what it was. I ate two meals tonight. Isn't that a sin? You know, one in the cafe, and I'm not telling you where I ate the other one at. You know, the thing is that the great commandment teaches us something, doesn't it? That we are to love our neighbor as ourself. That's right. So here, those who slander, someone said this, those who slander, those who gossip, work for the devil. What a horrible thing. Someone said this, the slanderer carries the devil in his tongue and the devil also in his ear. Did you know that if you look up that word slanderer, whatever, in the New Testament, which means, of course, the word means devil or accuser of the brethren, did you know that it's used in the New Testament for evil 34 times? Imagine that. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he who honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, when you make a vow, when you make a promise, you're a man of your word. That's a good thing to be, isn't it? Amen. That when people can trust you, when you mean what you say, and they know that. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:4, it says, when you make a vow or you swear to God, don't delay to pay it, for God has, and here comes that word, God has no pleasure in fools. Verse 5, he who does not put out his money as usury, in other words, doesn't rip off his brother by charging interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, and he who does these things shall what? Never be moved. You know, isn't it a horrible thing to put money above people? Think about that. That's what he's saying there in this verse about those who use money the wrong way and get money the wrong way. If you listed all of those 10 descriptions of David that David just gave us, it's kind of like giving us the 10 commandments in a way. Now, it says, he who does these things shall never be moved. It doesn't say those who profess those things or those who doesn't believe those things. It says you have to do those things. So who may abide and who may dwell and who's qualified for this? Well, really no one. The only way anyone can be qualified for the things that David is saying is to be in the one who is perfect. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, and that's who we're in tonight. Jesus told us in John 15:5, he says, without me, you can do nothing. So we can do what David could not do. But more on that in a minute. Let's go ahead and go to Psalm 16, and I'll bring that up at the end of the message. In Psalm 16, it says, a michtam of David. Now, we don't know what that word really means. It's an uncertain origin. Some translate it as a word, it's golden or it's precious. The LXX, the Greek Septuagint, it translates this word meaning a tablet inscription. Now, evidently, someone wrote that it was so precious, this inscription, that it is a psalm stamped in gold. Martin Luther, when he translated it, this Psalm 16, as a golden jewel. So let's begin in verse 1. He says, preserve me, or literally, watch over me, O God, for in you I put my trust. I want you to catch this now. A psalm, David is, you know, is usually to a stringed instrument. You know what I'm saying. He's singing this psalm, or it's meant to be sang and so forth. David is not singing here, okay? David is not singing, oh, Lord, protect me from my enemies. Oh, Lord, protect me. I'm going through horrible times and a terrible tribulation. He's not doing that at all. David is happy. David is happy in the Lord. Matter of fact, he's taking pleasure in the Lord God. Oh, my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, and my goodness is nothing apart from you. Isn't that a true word? I mean, you know, the Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. I agree with David. Amen, David. Apart from God, we have no goodness at all. We go about doing good because he who does good lives in us. He who does good continually lives in us. And we want to do good because we're born from above. But the good news is that, thank God, we have been set apart. Look at the next verse. For as the saints, and remember that word saints means holy ones, or the ones that are set apart for God's use. For as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones. So when you go home tonight, you can, wife, husband, you can look at each other and say, you're the excellent one, aren't you? Yeah. Never mind. Means the noble ones. In whom is all my delight, and their sorrows shall be multiplied, who hasten after another God. They drink the offerings of blood. I will not offer, and I love what David says, nor take up their names on my lips. David says, I won't even mention their names. And he says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot, or you guard everything that you've given unto me. And this is very good. Look at this. The lions have fallen to me in what kind of places? Pleasant places. Lions right there mean the promised land that God was that gave to the children of Israel. He says, yes, I have a good inheritance. You know what's wonderful about this? Is that we have more than heaven. We have more than earth. We have God as our portion. Amen? Listen, think about that. The all-sufficient one, El Shaddai, our God, he is our portion. Man, our cup runneth over. I pray yours is right now. Amen? He says, oh, listen. He says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel, and my heart also instructs me in the night seasons. David is there on his bed, evidently. And what do you think about at night? That's what the word heart there means, mind. So what is David? He says, listen, when I think about you, Lord, in the night, I find instruction, I find counsel. There's something about to do when you can't sleep. You know what I mean? Do you think about the Lord? You know, he's right there with you. Remember that story I told you years ago? You've probably heard it so many times you want me to quit saying about it. I was on my bed late at night. I mean, it probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and I was awake, and I was praying. And I was praying to the Lord, and I was having such a wonderful prayer time. But then a horrible storm blew in. Man, and it was just, you could hear the rain and the thunder, the lightning. And you know when lightning's how it explodes and nearly knocks you out of the bed. And so I quit praying, and I got up. I went over to the window to look out to see, you know, how bad it was. And I looked, and then I came back to bed. And the moment that I laid down, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, don't ever do that again. And then I realized I'd insulted the Lord. Here I was having a wonderful prayer time, and instead of me continuing my prayer time, I was more interested in what was going on outside than what was happening at the throne of grace. Are you following me? The Lord said, don't ever do that again. I felt so horrible about that. Don't you love to receive correction from God? Yes. To sleep there in your bed. You know, yesterday I was having, as normal during the week, some spine issues and off balance and trying to walk through the church. And then I leaned to the right too far, and I was hurting and limping. And you want me to tell you the whole story? And so when I got home, Becky, you know, my wife, you know, the nurse, and said, you need to take this. I said, I don't want to take it. She said, take it. I said, I'm the man of that. No, I didn't do that. And so I took it. When I woke up this morning, my whole pillowcase was drooled all night long. I didn't even move. So whatever it was, but I feel good today. Now, look at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. I love that verse. I've set the Lord. You know, you can set your mind on things above or you can set your mind on things below. I prefer to set my mind on things above where Christ is. Amen. Our life is hidden with our Lord. He says, I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I'll not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices and my flesh also rests in hope. For, watch this now, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Does that verse sound familiar to you? It should. Paul used it in Acts chapter 13, and Peter used it in the first Christian message, the first Easter message, if you will, at the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. If anyone ever asks you, can you show me a scripture in the Old Testament that deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there it is right there in front of you. And it says, and you will show me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are what? Pleasures, plural, forevermore. Not a happiness, not a joy that you have it for a second, it fades away. Listen, forever and ever and ever and ever. We are in 2020, and there are major issues in this world. And you know what? If we were in 2021 and the Lord hasn't come for us yet, there's going to be major issues in this world. Amen? But you know what? If you keep the Lord before you, and there's going to be such joy that fills our heart. It says there, you will show me the path of life. And do you know what is at the end of the path of life? Fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. You look at this world tonight, generation after generation, I'm seeking happiness, I'm seeking joy, I'm seeking pleasure. And you know what? All that they seek after, those who do not know the Lord, you know what? It leaves them empty. They find something, it satisfies for a moment, but after a while it fades. It just breeds emptiness in their heart. You know, Jesus says that every man that's ever born in our generation, after generation, they can only travel on two roads. They don't have any choice about it. The Bible tells us, Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Man, aren't you glad that we're the few, that we have found that path, that we found life, the broad way? Boy, it's so popular today. I mean, we live in a time, I was meeting with Stephen Paul a moment ago in my office before the service, and I'd mentioned to them about this crazy world that we're living in, and I don't know if you caught this, but that a woman comedian, it was in the news, by the way, and I didn't hear her say this, but I read what she said, who said, you know, she was up in front of an audience, too. And she said, oh, let me tell you what I did. I just had an abortion. And she said, I have never felt more like God. Honest. I felt empowered. When I read that, I had to reread it because I thought surely no one would ever say something like that. That's the world that we live in today. You know why? It's the Broadway. See, any belief system will work in the Broadway. Amen? Oh, it's well lit. Let's go right down it. You don't have any trouble in this world if you go down that Broadway because, man, it's popular. Any lifestyle is acceptable. Any belief system is valid. Matter of fact, the Broadway is so broad, you can bring anything into it, and you will be accepted as long as it's not Jesus Christ. Yeah, listen. And the problem with the Broadway, that path, is where it leads. It leads to destruction. It goes to hell, in other words. Man, listen, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Do you know that is one of the signs of the last days, the end times? That's where we're in right now. Someone put it this way about pleasure. Most men pursue pleasure with such breathless haste that they hurry right past it. That is a true word. How many people, the narrow life, you know, you think, oh, I can't, this is just, you come to Christ and, you know, they say, I can't, the Bible, going to church and, you know, singing songs or whatever. It's so narrow. Yeah, but the longer that you're going down the narrow path that leads to life, the better it gets. It gets better and better and better because it starts stripping all the junk off of you that we don't need. Amen? Oh, that's the way I want to go. And the few there be that find, and we're of the few. He says, you show me the path of life. I love this. In your presence is fullness of joy. Do you remember when Moses, he was the children of Israel, they'd sinned in Exodus 32, the worship of the golden calf, and boy, God was against them, and boy, it was bad. And then in Exodus chapter 33, the Lord tells Moses, okay, Moses, you get the people, and you're going to take them up into the land of the Gergesites, the Canaanites, and the Muscovites, and all the rest of those things. You know what I mean? And Moses says this. He goes, oh, listen, in Exodus 33:14, he says, oh God. God said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In other words, I'll make sure you make it into Canaan. Then Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. You know, do you know that only the nation of Israel had the manifest presence of God? The only nation. Think about that. The manifest presence of the Shekinah glory of God. Pillar of fire by night, pillar cloud by day. Whenever Moses would talk, remember, and he would walk into the tent of meeting, into the tabernacle to meet with the Lord alone, face to face. And the children of Israel, they would look, and then the cloud, the Shekinah glory would descend into the tabernacle, and they would talk face to face. What a glorious thing. In God's presence, what happened to the face of Moses when he came down from the mount after receiving the commandments? Remember, his face shone. Man, the children, he didn't know his face was shining. There's something about being in the presence of the Lord. Now listen, but the church, think about us. Loved one, listen, no other religion can give people what God has given us. We're in the presence of the Lord right now. He'll never, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age, Jesus said, amen. He'll never leave us. He will never, ever forsake us. We are the temple of the living God. He's with us right this minute. I hope that you're practicing awareness, knowing that he's with us, knowing that he'll never leave us. I mean, we need that. You need that right now. All the discouragement that tries to come your way, the things that try to block your path, the things that try to make you stumble, you need to know that when you walk out of the house after you've had your prayer time, amen? You know, if you're going to have a New Year's resolution, don't say I'm going to work out every day because you're not. My resolution is to eat as much Mexican food as I can handle. I don't care anymore. When you get to be 40, eat what you want. If you want a resolution, be resolute about having an early morning prayer time, meeting with the living God, the one who loves you, the one who sent his son to die for you. Amen? Don't neglect that. Oh, listen. Moses said, oh, listen. No, if your presence is not going, I'm not going either. Do you want to draw close to the Lord? There's pleasures forevermore to do so. Oswald Sanders said this. He said, every one of us is as close to God as he has chosen to be. What an incredible word. In other words, how close can we really get to God? Or how close do you really want to get to God? And let me ask you another question. Is there a limit to getting close to the Lord? I mean, is there like a line that says, God goes, whoa, man, you're getting too close to me. I can't handle this. No. What does James 4:8 say? Draw nigh unto me, saith the Lord. I'll draw nigh unto you. How close can this church get to the Lord this year? You need to be close to the Lord this year. You need to be Loved one, you need to be saturated with the presence of God this year. In every day of your life, your family, your children, all, everything that you're doing. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and shout joyfully to him with the Psalms. Now, I made a statement earlier. I said, we can do what David could not do, but he wanted to do, and that is we can go to where David could not go, the Holy of Holies. Man, think about that, loved one. I mean, about the fullness of joy and about pleasures forevermore. Did you know that we have access into his presence? Job cried out, and he said this in Job 23:3, oh, that I knew where I might find him, meaning God, that I might come to his seat. We have, the church of Jesus Christ, the believer, we have right this minute a way into God's very presence. Do you, I mean, do you, is, has it become, you know, I was, I, no, never mind. I don't want to go there because I'd have to take up an offering or something. I don't want to give you all the deep truth tonight. This is Wednesday. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:18, for through him, meaning Jesus, we both, Jew, Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Ephesians 3:12, in whom, meaning, of course, our Lord Jesus, we have boldness and we have access with confidence through faith in him. Access, that word literally means an introduction into the royal courts, into the Holy of Holies of God. Think about that. We're the sons of God, the daughters of God. We're the children of God. Man, I think about that and I say, oh, Lord, how do we enter? It says, through faith. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone, God says, if anyone draws back, here's that word again, my soul has no pleasure in him. The psalmist has written, as we'll learn when we get way over toward the end of the Psalms in 147:11, he says this, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. We are living in a time, look at this world right now. Australia is an inferno. I can't even believe that is happening. I mean, it's the hottest place on earth, loved one. Did you know the scientists just said this morning that 1 billion animals have now perished? Think about that. 1 billion animals have perished. Puerto Rico, they had 500 aftershocks. They had 2 major earthquakes. They're sitting in darkness trying to restore the power. What in the world is going on? You look all over the world. I mean, how about the mysterious this thing that's happening in China? Everybody's putting on a mask because there's some kind of pneumonia that they don't know what's happening. Sweeping. And then this afternoon, as I checked on that, because I follow things like that, the pestilence of this world. It said the scientists have now discovered that this is a new virus that they have never seen that's causing this, and they don't know how to stop it. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, loved one. Not only that, look, Trump is, they want to impeach Trump. We have a war maybe with Iran, which I pray that doesn't happen. Amen. I mean, you think of all those things, and not only that, the Cowboys have a new head coach. Hello. This is perilous times, man. No, listen, I'm sorry, Lord, I don't care who they get as a new head coach. Don't email me about that, okay? When's the last time you got into the presence of the Lord? No, I mean, you wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. When's the last time you went into your prayer room, you shut that door, you didn't have your cell phone, you didn't have your computer, your PC, your laptop, whatever it is, your phone, and you just walked in and said, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I praise you. Oh, Lord, I just enter into your presence with thanksgiving. I love you, Lord. You don't ask him for anything. You just do what the Lord taught his disciples and us to pray. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. You hallow the name of God. You know, he's Jehovah Jireh. You go through there's over 80 Old Testament names for God. But the favorite one is Father. He is our Father which art in heaven. Amen. to get into His presence. When is the last time that you got into His presence and you came to that place where there were pleasures forevermore? Where you didn't want to leave. You didn't want to leave your prayer. You were mad because you had to go to work. You understand? It was time to get out on the freeway. It was time to get away from the pleasures of being with the Lord. And now you get into this world that's crumbling and falling apart. Listen, we are Christians. We are born from above. We are new creations in Christ. We have access to heaven. We have access to our Father, which art in heaven. What kind of God do we have? What kind of Savior do we have? I'll tell you, we have a Father in heaven that loves us just as much as He loves His own Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Ephesians 1:6, we are accepted in the Beloved. That's Christ. The Bible tells us the kind of Father we have. He loves us so much when we came to Christ. Guess what happened? We were justified, declared innocent. Why? Well, we were given are really imputed, not imparted, but imputed the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. And when you are in Him, God sees you complete, finished, without sin. Your past, your present, your future, they're gone. And one day, when He comes again, He's going to deliver us from the presence of sin forever and ever and ever. I don't have anyone in my family that has ever kept a bottle of my tears. But the psalmist says that God keeps a bottle of your tears. Every tear that you've ever cried. Think about that. How much does God love you? That's the Father that we have. When we go to Him, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can come into your presence. I want you to come into my presence. I know all about you. I know how crummy you are. I love you. Every hair on your head, it's not counted. It's numbered. This hair, you see that one? It belongs right there. He knows when that hair falls out, Bill lost a hair, it belonged right there. He numbers them. Nobody in my family's ever done that. Do you understand what I'm getting at? That's how much God loves us. He's engraved you on the palm of your hand, His hand. I mean, my gosh, He's your rear guard. Behold what manner that the love of God is bestowed upon us, that we have been called now the children of God. What manner of love? That word is one word in the Greek. Behold, what manner? It means a love that's not from this world. It's from another world. It's from heaven. Love one, listen. You can go to God and find pleasure with God, and you can find joy and the fullness of joy when you go there in your prayer time. Prayer turns to a delight. First it's a discipline, then it's a delight to go to the Lord. You know, God provides all of our needs, doesn't He? Now you may be saying, well, He's not providing mine right now. Well, you know what the Bible says about that? In James 4:3, it says, you ask, you do not receive. Here it comes. Because you ask amiss that you spend it on your pleasures. Now I'm not saying you're doing that, but that could be. Your pleasures, not God. It's a wrong, just wrong praying. The Bible tells us in Luke 12:32, Jesus said, oh, don't fear, little flock. It is your Father's, here's this word, good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. We have access to the place of pleasures forevermore. We have access into the presence of God. We have access to the place of the fullness of joy. You can do that every day, anytime during the day. And it's only through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. Amen? Why do we have that access? Why can we find those pleasures that God is speaking about? Just not when we get to heaven, yes, but here and now. Well, I'll tell you why. Because it brought God pleasure. Listen to me now. It pleased God. That word pleased is the same word as pleasure. It pleased God to bruise Him who knew no sin instead of bruising you and me. Think about that. It pleased to make Him an offering for sin. It pleased God for Jesus to bear our griefs and sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities, all of those things. It pleased God. It says in Isaiah 53:10, it pleased God to bruise Him, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. We can go to the one right now, the only mediator in all of the world. There's no other. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for our sins. Amen? Yes, we can go to him. We don't have to have a saint. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? We don't have to pray through Mary. I'm not beating up Mary or any saint. I'm just saying, you don't need that. Listen, you don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor. You just need Jesus. You're a priest unto God. Amen? You're his own special priesthood, his own special people. Man, all you have to do is go, loved one. All you need is Jesus, because we have a great high priest. I love this scripture. Listen as I read Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Now, what is that confession? Here it comes. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Now, that has nothing to do with sin or being in sin. He's already paid for our sins, okay? He says, who does not sympathize. That word means he feels with us. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through right tonight, tomorrow, next week. He knows. He says, he sympathizes with our weaknesses and was in all points tempted as we are, tempted by Satan, tempted by hunger, tempted by lack of sleep and so forth, yet without sin. Here it is. Now, with all that, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Did you know why my quiet time is so important to me? And if I don't pray, and it's rare that I don't, and I'm not patting myself on the back. To leave the house without prayer, you feel dirty. My whole day is messed up, and it just, everything goes wrong. I haven't spent time with my Father. Does that make sense? But boy, when I do, how important it is. But what's so wonderful is about our prayer time. This access that we have, the place of pleasures forevermore, the place of that fullness of joy, is that God is waiting on you to come. Isn't that amazing? Let us come boldly. Come on in. Come in right this minute. And he says, come in by faith, access my promises. Access my mercy, my grace, my whatever you might need. It is a joy to go and do that. Listen, you and I, because we're believers, we have access to the throne room of God, and we have access without condemnation. Romans 8:1. For those, what does it say in Romans 8:1? Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that. You can go any time during the day, but especially in your quiet time, you can go to the throne of grace. I love that word. To the throne of unmerited, unearned, unconditional, undeserved, divine favor, the unmerited favor of the living God. You can go there right this minute. You can say, I need grace in time and need. God says, I have all the grace that you need. I have more than you'll ever imagine. Listen, going to the place of fullness of joy, going to the place of pleasures forevermore, that's what happens when you do so, when you go into your prayer time. And it says today, where was that word at again? It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. It says, today help in time of need, in time of need. That means right now. What are you facing? What are you going through? You know, whenever a discouragement comes over you and you don't know why, it just hits you and you don't know why you have the blues and you don't know why you're just, why can't I pick myself up? What am I thinking these things? Why do I feel lonely or why do I feel, I'm just down, man. When you feel that way, you need to stop and you need to say, Lord, who is doing this? It's not you. He's the lifter of my head. Amen. Are you downcast? He's the lifter of my head. No. You know, that means usually two things. Number one, it's a wicked one. But that also means that there's something coming. And the devil wants you to get your eyes off of the Lord and get your eyes on you and your discouragement and your defeated mentality, because he wants to hide the door of opportunity. He wants to hide the blessing that God is sending your way. Do you follow me? You have to beware of that. You have to keep your mind stayed on him. He'll keep you in perfect peace if you do so. Listen, there's a war out there, and we live in a territory of warfare because the devil roams around seeking whom he may devour. Amen? So thank God he's defeated, and he's still defeated. You have to be careful with that. I like it says you obtain mercy. Not for salvation, you're already saved. I need mercy. I need help in time of need. And I know that when we go to the throne of grace, it happens. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, what grace. Listen, God the Father, Jesus the Son, is waiting on you any time of the day, early morning, noon, evening, deep in the night. He's waiting for you to come to the throne of grace because you have access by the blood of Jesus and your virtue, by virtue of your relationship with him. You come right into the throne, right before the throne. Do you believe that? That's not some fable. That's not some myth. That is the truth of God's word. He says, I'm waiting on you. And come in faith. Appropriate all my promises by faith. Titus 1:2, God doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. Everything that God says is true. You know, the Bible says, and I close, it says with 1:12 and Psalm 111:2, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. You know, tonight, what are you really facing? What's really happening? Maybe 2020 has started off wonderful, man. Everything is going great, and I hope it is. But if you are troubled, if you are down, why don't we take whatever it is to the throne of grace right now? And you, by faith, appropriate God's love, God's mercy, God's whatever you need, and obtain it, it says, in time of need. Is that a good deal? Father, we come to you tonight on this simple Wednesday night Bible study where, Lord, I'm standing in front of your sheep who've worked and labored all day and maybe not even had dinner, but they wanted to be at church. I'm thankful for them, Lord. And we love you. We praise you. And by virtue of the blood of Jesus and by faith, we come boldly right this minute, Lord. Full of confidence in you, we come boldly to the throne of grace where we can obtain mercy and in time of need. And whatever their need might be tonight, oh Lord, would you just move upon them. Embrace them. Let them sense your incredible presence, Lord. Let them know that you're here among us tonight. And Lord, again, we, the body of Christ, we lift up those loved ones that we're praying for. We lift up again by faith to the throne of grace, Lord. We lift up Beverly to you tonight, and Luana tonight, and Donnie tonight, Lord, and Angela tonight, and Karen Harris tonight, and all the people that we're praying for, and Bill Kindler, all of them. Oh, Lord, there they are, right in front of you, Lord. Oh, we want mercy for them. We want to appropriate by faith their healing tonight. Whatever need they may have, Lord, I pray that you just touch them. And for Pete there in the hospital, oh, Lord, he's been in there so many days and his children are tired. His wife is worn out. Oh, God, strengthen them right now. Let your pleasures forevermore and your fullness of joy just saturate them. Come upon them. Fill that hospital room right now. Even Luana, Lord. Let the pleasures of evermore flood that room. And Lord, for Javier on this heart surgery on Monday, oh Lord, fill that room with grace. Let the great physician guide every hand Lord, tonight, ignite the whirlwind. Let the tent ministry begin. Lord, let this city be one. We love you. We praise you tonight. There's no one like you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen and amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we? Now, see, you could have been home tonight, you know, Dunkin' Donuts or something. I don't know. I'm glad you came tonight. I'm glad that 2020 is here. I'm glad that God has called us to enlarge our tents. Amen. I'm glad that he's sending us out into this city. I can't wait to see all that God is about to do this year. As we work again for the single moms and all of that, with raising their children and grandparents, raising their children's children. This year, the Lord willing, instead of having over 1,000, we're going to have over 2,000. Amen? We're starting to work right now on all that we're doing. This is going to be, if the Lord tarries, is going to be a great year. I'm not saying it's going to be without problems in the world. I'm not saying it's not going to be without warfare. I'm saying it's going to be a great year serving God. Amen. There's no promises of us not being in tribulation or going through it or persecution. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. We're going to close with a song, and when we do, when it's over with, as you know, there'll be people down here. They'll pray with you for whatever your need might be. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. Well, we're off key. God is so good. I'm off key. Thank you, Lord. He's so good to me, and I love him so. Yes, we do, Lord. I love him so. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love him so. He's so good. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Greet one another as you depart tonight. If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. God bless you.